Hi, this is Steve. Before we get started, I'd like to encourage you to actually watch the YouTube version of this podcast because there's lots and lots of visuals, and I had to edit down a lot of the gameplay to very short clips here because they don't work well as a podcast. So, fine, listen to the podcast, but I encourage you to watch the YouTube version instead just because I think it makes for a better experience. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going good, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Are you ready to fill in the blanks?
I am ready to fill in some of the blanks.
Let's fill in a blank today, Jeff.
Let's fill in a blank.
Hey Jeff, that was quite a month, wasn't it?
It was quite a month. A lot of stuff happened during that month, and a lot of coding this time.
Lot of coding happened last month. So, in the first episode of Fill in the Blanks, the inaugural episode of Fill in the Blanks, what did we do?
We made music with chip tunes.
That's right. And then that was our first challenge because we'd never done that before. Then our second challenge was kind of an odd one, was that we wanted to do something with some of the games in our first book that we wrote,
Right.
which is something we've never done before. We never actually, we just let them live in that book. We didn't do anything with them.
Yes.
And the idea was, could we port them, I guess you call it a demake, kind of, demake
Maybe.
them back onto the 7800 and the ST.
Right. Yes. And
So,
I chose one that I made, and you chose one that you made.
that's right.
And I went to the
So let's
ST, and where did you go?
the 7800, of course, because that's pretty much how this is going to
That's
work
how this is going to work
in Fill in
this
the
year.
Blanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go. So this is the book called The Essential Guide to Flash Games, released in 2010. We had 10 games in there.
Right.
We taught how to make a basic game engine and framework. It actually sold pretty well.
It did.
It was right at kind of the end of the flash game era, but we got kind of filled with everything we'd learned over the past decade, and we actually made a fake infomercial for it.
Oh, you
Play a
want to
little.
show that? Let's show it.
Let's show a little bit of it. Okay,
Okay.
ready?
Wow, I really want to make a game for the web. And all these are great technologies, but none of them tell me how to make an object-oriented, optimized Flash game in ActionScript 3. Where am I gonna find a book like that? Wow! What's this?
It's a book, The Essential Guide to Flash Games. It's what you've been looking for. 10 thrilling games. Balloon Saw. Basic game leveling.
Book I ever purchased.
The Essential Guide to Flash Games. Available wherever fine books are sold.
Just want to hear more of my song.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, you're looking? We'll be back to pick you up later.
Anyway, that was our fake infomercial
That was
for
amazing.
our
I'm
book.
sorry. I'm happy to say that was amazing. If I do say so myself.
I actually think it's one of the best things we ever did.
That
The
infomercial is
fake
great.
infomercial. So anyway, obviously Flash is dead, and we never did anything with these games that were in this book after. We're going to remake, demake, extend a game from the book. That was our challenge on
Right.
a retro platform. So I did mine first. It was a game called Balloon Saw, and Balloon Saw was the first game in the book. And what it taught you was how to create a game loop, basic collision detection, and event handling, and actually mouse control. And I'll show you what it looked like back then in Flash in this video here. Very simple. You control the saw, move around the screen, and you couple in. And I'll show you, it can get just really fast. And that's it. And I always thought maybe there was something more I could do with Balloon Saw. So I tried to tackle this on the 7800. So the first thing I did, because this is what I do every time I try to tackle a retro game on the 7800, was I made a title screen.
It's quite a title screen, by the way.
Yeah, I like to make a title screen. Okay, kind of. If there's a title screen, I kind of feel like it can become real. So I wanted to turn Balloon Saw into a game set at an unhinged circus with circus-like obstacles and an evil clown. I usually start all my 700 games and experiments with the logo. That's what I said. So I made this logo. You notice that if you look down here, there's the one of the O's is missing, because I wanted that to be a saw that was spinning. This is a 160B 12-color bitmap on the 7800. And this is what the title screen looked like. This is just an image of it. We'll see it actually moving as we go on. So then I tracked two songs. I make two songs. One song I wanted to be Entry of the Gladiators, which is that you recognize it as the circus song.
Yes.
And then here's a really funny though. So there's another song here, and this song was sort of by accident created by AI. So I didn't try to use AI to create a song at all. What I tried to do was I tried a shortcut, and I asked AI to give me the piano notes for Entry of the Gladiator so I could put it into the RMP tracker. And so it did. It gave me what it said was the notes for...
Okay, wait, I'm going to say something right now. Asking AI to give you some notes to help you figure out some stuff is not creating music with AI.
No, and well, here's the thing. So
it's not AI music. You still created the music. Right?
It gave me what it said was Entry of the Gladiators, but when I put it into RMT Tracker, it was absolutely not. Okay, it's some crazy evil circus song created by that's came up with. So I think it's even better because the evil clown is an evil computer clown, and he has an AI song. It's very strange, and I'll let you hear it. I'm like, kind of sounds like an evil circus song. So when I went back to ChatGPT and said, "That's not Entry of the Gladiators," it says, "Oh yeah, you're right. I actually can't do what you asked me." it literally can't do it. So then I went for Entry of the Gladiators. I went and found the piano notes that I usually find, and I put it in, and it was all fine. But I thought it was funny that, like, I tried to take a shortcut, and if I had actually used that shortcut, it would have been a disaster. Like it literally could not do what I asked it to do. So there's another reason, you know, to like limit the AI usage when you're with these days, because it doesn't really do what you want it to do.
You know what? That's what I wanted to say about AI is this: it is the culmination, in a bizarre way, of everything you wanted on your 8-bit computer to sit there and type something and have it do stuff, and without you having to put in disk and all this great stuff. The problem is, it's also like the computer that's got bits wrong in the wrong place too, right?
Yeah, it's like
it's a memory, corrupted memory.
The memory map is all wrong.
The memory map has been corrupted.
Yeah, and so I debated whether to use the song or not, but I decided I'd use it because it sort of makes sense in the course of this game, and you'll hear it. So anyway, next I drew the saw. I drew four frames for the big saw on the screen. You'll notice that it doesn't look like a circle here because the 7800 has those oblong pixels.
Yeah.
And same with the gameplay saw, which looks a little bit like a square, but I was okay with it.
It's fine.
And it's another four frames. And then you'll notice that we actually use the big saw during the game for the bonus. So then I made my balloons. I made a balloon again. It looks a little oblong, but on the screen it looks more round. And then I made an explosion for the balloons that look like they're popping. So
I love the three colors that you created to make them look round. It looks really
good. And then I used those same three colors to palette swap. So yes, the same sort of lighter, medium, and dark. And then I just swap out those colors for every level to get a different color for a balloon. It's very kind of simple palette swap thing to do on the 7800. And then, of course, there's the explosion that I personally think came out pretty well when you play the game.
I think it looks great. I mean,
then so what happens is this not happen in Balloon Saw. The balloons get up to the top, and then if a balloon reaches the top, not only do you lose some points, kind of like in Astro Smash, not all your points, but just some points per balloon. And that increases in every level how many points you lose if a balloon reaches the top of the screen. It turns into a bomb and falls back down and tries to blow you up. And you only get one life in this game.
That reminded me of Puyan for some reason.
That happens. It's kind of...
It's not the same, but the guys get to the bottom and then they climb up the thing to get you.
I thought that was a cool idea. I mean, I love Puyan. I wasn't thinking of Puyan when I made this because it's not... Because it's a different action in the game, but I know what you're saying. And then I made the balloon, the string for the balloon, I made it so it would flip over and fall down off the screen. It kind of looks like it's, after when you pop it, it sort of flips and falls. Other than that, it has no actual interaction in the game. It's just like kind of an extra little kind of...
because if you hit it, you lose your life, right? So it has...
The string.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not the string. The strings are not. The bombs.
I got it.
Okay. And then I decided I wanted to draw an evil clown, and
I love
160B 12 color clown face. It actually, I think this actually lives in its own bank, just so I could. I thought I may make more faces for the clown. Not, I didn't for this version game, but maybe for subsequent versions there may be more clown faces. I might make the clown face move. I have to say that I got this clown done, and I'm a terrible pixel artist. I was so happy with it, I just let it go. It looks like a clown.
That clown is the equivalent of the song that I made in the last episode. Like, wait, I did something that was almost okay. Yours looked really good.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, I got it. And then I also borrowed a screen fading routine from another game, so that between the levels, it sort of fades in and out. You'll notice this.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but I think it works good for this game. And here's a demo of the first version of the game when I just had balloons and bombs and the cloud face. Kind of shrill version of this bomb. Here's the fade out. This is the evil bomb. So you saw the clown, you saw the fade out, you saw the
The bomb actually looks like an evil jack-o'-lantern when it's small on the screen.
I've actually drawn some evil jack-o'-lanterns in the past, so that's probably why it looks like an evil jack-o'-lantern. Probably in my brain to make evil jack-o'-lanterns. All right, so then I thought, okay, so that's actually even better than Balloon Saw,
right?
But it wasn't a game yet, so I wanted to have a bonus item. This is supposed to look like a beach ball. It doesn't really look like a beach ball. I tried one to be a beach ball, but it doesn't matter. Instead, I did a palette shift on it with a bunch of colors, so when it shows up, it looks like it's kind of flickering, flashing on the screen. And then I added some other enemies. So I added three other enemies. I added a dart that comes in. I added a pie that flies in from the right and left, so seemingly like a clown is throwing a pie at you. And the dart is obviously like from a dart carnival game, you know, like you're throwing darts at the balloons if they're being thrown at you. And then there's also a death balloon. I tried to make a skull on this thing, couldn't make it, so I made it like a tombstone.
Looks good.
And the final notes. So the final notes of this thing: 10 levels of increasing difficulty. You lose points if the balloons hit the top and turn to bombs. When you're in bonus mode, you can destroy everything for points. It still has some bugs. It needs to be balanced. 80% of the code is original, 20% taken from my other games. And then the one thing is that song that the AI came up with, but I still made my own version and tracked it and did my own harmony and everything on top of it. So I'd say that it was just, it came up with the idea for it, but I still didn't make the music. Okay, so here is now a video of what happens at those higher levels.
Sounds good.
And there you go. It gets kind of, it almost looks like a real game at that point.
It is a real game. Actually, it's it reminds me of Astro Blaster, Asteroids, and Food Fight all at the same time.
So here's the thing. That video is of version 3, I think beta 3. I think I'm up to beta 6 now. There's a bunch of bugs fixed. Like, in that version, you could actually destroy the pies multiple times. All that's been fixed. The scores, but there's a bunch of things in there that are fixed now. But it doesn't really matter. That's the game, the version that I guess we're going to put somewhere for people to play.
Well, the betas are going to go up on the itch.io page.
Right.
And then you can put the RC ones up there too when we get them done.
Okay, so here is my high score. Now these are fast, so I sped this up to show you what my high score is. Playthrough. Ready?
Okay, and there are 20,000. Okay, so 20,000.
See what yours is. Okay. Ready?
Right, don't worry.
$14,165.
Yeah, it's on the next page. So, and you know what? I didn't get a lot of time to play. That was only my second playthrough, but that was the best I'd done. So,
well, that was fun. So thanks for playing through it. So I beat you at my own game, which kind of doesn't feel that great, actually. I wish
it
was actually.
No, I mean, I just need to play it more. But you know what? It is a great game. You added all the things in that I wasn't able to make into mine, and we'll discuss that next.
Well, let's do yours. Okay. So now... So mine was a 7800 game. You tackled...
The Atari ST.
Okay, and so what was the game that you...
Game was called Tunnel Panic. It was a flappy bird genre, but this is but we made this game, or I made it, in our book, before Flappy Bird was ever created.
Right.
Standard Flash-style game that had been created before. It's just it wasn't Flappy Bird. Ryan came in last night and said, "Hey, do you mean Flappy Bird?" I'm all, "No, I didn't make Flappy Bird." Anyway, it was to show how to create a viral score attack game, and there's a little picture of it there. I do have a video of it. Is that the video right there? Let me see.
This is the video right here.
Yes. So you can make it bigger when you click on it. So let me read this. Tunnel Panic is not much to look at on purpose. It's meant to run fast and look retro in 2010. So is it now retro?
Yes.
Here is a game played in the Linux Flash Player. I found that. There are some wrinkles, but it still works. So.
All right, here we go.
Make it bigger. Okay. Okay.
There you go. That MP3 loop is a little rough in there.
Yes, I know. Well, this is the thing. So MP3 loops in Flash develop back then when we were using the Flash Flex plugin. You couldn't loop the MP3. You couldn't load in WAV files externally and loop them. So I couldn't make a proper loop. But all that can be fixed in SOS, can it? On the ST.
Well, so, here's the thing that I want to know. I want to ask you a question about this, because what's really bothering me about this is that I know the Atari ST, especially in SOS, has a very, very difficult time doing horizontal scrolling.
Yes.
So
why did I choose it?
No, I know why you chose it, because it was difficult. But I'm interested to find out. I want to make sure that you tell us all about how you solved the horizontal scrolling problem in here.
Okay, so I'll get to that.
Okay.
So... The STOS on the ST port was going to use Missing Link, which is an extra set of code that for rendering and a few other things. And what it has is something called Joey's, and we'll get to that. So Joey's helped me with this, with the rendering and the speed. The same basic style of graphics going to be used, but I wanted to actually make sprites out of them, not draw that. I think I drew those as it was being... In Flash, I drew those sort of geometric things just using the draw commands in code. I didn't want to do that because I needed a bit more speed than that. So it has the same basic graphics, but I use points for the particles at the that come out of the back of the ship. And those points are rendered in a single color. So what I did was I chose to use a single color for everything, and you'll see why. I created two new songs also and some effects in the music creator. And I wanted to add levels and a bonus pickup. So this is what I did to it. That's the actual ideas for the port. So
all right, here we go.
So your player ship, it's purple here. I don't think it's purple in the game, and there's a reason for that. It's a 24 by 11 ship. It's I think it's actually 16 by 11. I don't know why I put 24 by 11. And it's in the upper left-hand corner of a 16 by 16 square. So it's not 24 by 11, it's only 16. Don't know why, 24 by 11, okay. I made some other graphics also for this. So I have stalactites and stalagmites of a specific size. I have a little miner at the bottom who waves his arms and you can pick him up for a bonus. And then move on to the next set of sprites. And then I have a ship explode, and I have this bonus icon that's not used yet in the game. And the ship explode is one of the few special effects I was able to get in. And let's move on to the next one. Sorry. Okay, here's my palette in STOS and in the ST. You don't have multiple three-color palettes or a 12-color palette. I could have an entire 16-color palette. So this is my palette. It was used for reference when I went back and wanted to use colors. I didn't use too many of these. I may modify it for the release candidate version. Now, Flash versus STOS. So again, we can use what are called points of Missing Link to render the ship exhaust. This is a pool of small objects in AS3. I also created it as a pool of 5 in the STOS version. An object pool is just basically an array of objects. And when you get to the end of the array, you just reuse them. And
I want to point out, in the 7800 game, I had an array of 64 objects as a pool, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
I reuse it.
I also have a pool. When we get to the obstacles are a 20-object pool. In the Flash version, we had a simple text score panel at the top. We're going to do the same thing for this version. We may make it more elaborate in the release candidate. In Access 3, I use what's called a dirty rect erase. This is just meant so you don't clear the entire screen at once, you just clear the objects. I only use that in parts in STOS. In STOS, I used a missing link command that washes the entire inner part of the screen, not the score panel. Okay, again, so in STOS and Flash, after 10 seconds, it speeds up. In STOS, I made it after 10 objects, at 10 obstacles. The conceit in the book is that the game was meant to be created in 48 hours and then go live. It took me a lot longer than that. It may have actually taken me 48 hours of programming to make it, but it was spread across a month.
I do want to say, I think your 10 seconds is too short. I think
we're getting there. And yes, it is. In 10 objects. In Flash AS3, I dynamically created sized arrays as a pool, but we don't have a pool like that in STOS, so I used a static 20-object array. Okay, next one. These are just a little dry things that I did, but in Flash, the obstacles are created at a rate on how many seconds the player survives. In Flash, we used 10,000 milliseconds or 10 seconds. In Flash, I used random objects. So the objects come on the screen random, and it speeds up every 10 seconds. In STOS, I used a procedurally generated tunnel, with a delay in milliseconds that will speed up each level, and that was so things would go faster on each level. But it's procedurally generated because I want it to be repeatable. If you're going to make a score-chasing game, you want people to memorize if possible. So
it's procedurally generated, but from a seeded random.
From a seeded random. Class. In STOS, there's no seeded random. So I didn't use random, but I created a seed that allows it to generate things.
Okay. Yeah, on the 7800, by the way, I seed... I do have a seeded random, so it's different every time. I could make it the same, but I thought that would be boring for balloon popping.
I liked it. I mean, the way yours works is fine. But when you're doing obstacles in the way I was doing it, it needs to be...
Yeah, no, I know. Obstacles is different.
Also, it made it so I could test it and make sure it's not totally impossible in the first five levels. Okay, the obstacles in are a mixture of simple stalactites and stalagmites along with rocks in the middle. Very simple vector graphics on purpose for speed. Each is a single color. I did the same thing in STOS, but I just made them like triangles on the top and bottom and sort of a diamond instead of being all squares. Supposedly, I was going to dynamically change the palette color as the game progresses. I haven't put that in yet. I had a little problem with the way I set up the code, and that's part of what's going to happen in the release candidate.
Okay.
The tunnel also does get tighter as you go. Okay, so the goal was 30 frames per second without using an STE. To do that, I chose vector graphics in a single color, and they're rendered as Joeys. And what Joeys do is they use a single bit plane of the four bit planes on the ST to render your objects. And so each one can be a single color, and it speeds it up. If I had tried to put full color sprites on this, I would have got about 12 frames a second. So I have it as single color Joeys, and I limited the object pool to 20 objects. Now you can have 20 on the screen at once. That doesn't happen, but if it did, it would still run at 30 frames a second. When I get to higher levels, that might happen, but I have to make longer levels. So I spent most of the time during the month working on getting the Joeys and the scrolling to work right, and the last week making a game. That was my problem.
I like it though, actually. The scrolling looks great. So,
Okay, so we'll move on to the next part. So in the first part of this, I spent almost 3 days making the VS Code plugin for STOS work in Linux. So I had to do a couple things. I had to reconfigure the extension to use in Mint to get rid of Windows specific commands and PowerShell commands. And then I also had to change things like when you export a file, it then clears that file and makes it Linux compatible because it was exporting a file to load into STOS that wasn't compatible with STOS. So anyway, it took a while to get that to work. I have that all in a project now that I can just reuse over and over again. That took a while. So getting this to work in Linux and getting it to scroll were the two things that took the most amount of time so far in the game.
Oh man! Wow, you got lots of just pages of white text.
No, I got. I mean, we don't have to show all of it, Steve. Just.
I mean, he could have gussied it up with some images.
But. I didn't have time, man. I finished my game this morning.
Right. That's right. That's right. You did. That's right.
Okay.
Okay. I take it all back.
What's missing?
Well, I did kind of push you hard to get this.
I know. You had like weeks to make it look beautiful and stuff like that. Like I finished my scrolling.
I also borrowed like half my code. Well, no, 20%. I said was like code borrowed from other things.
I know,
I agree.
Your game is better. Okay, so what's
no? It's not that. I've spent like 6 years, you know, off and on working on the 7800 basic. So
I spent a lot more time working on STOS, but to actually make something that into a game, it was just anyway.
Well, I've been waiting for you to make something into a game, so I'm glad.
So what's missing in this beta? Smoother transitions between levels. Longer levels to be at least 100 obstacles or more. Right now, they're 20. I started a state machine in the main game loop to handle animations for special effects that worked alongside the gameplay logic so they could happen at the same time, but it totally broke the code last night. So what I did was add in some special effects that are sort of tacked on at the moment, hacky, and I need to go put a lot more in. So The music also was supposed to speed up as the levels speed up, but and there's a tempo command in Stas that's supposed to speed up music, but it doesn't work. I think it's only can only works in music you make inside of Stas, not with the music command. So it didn't work well for didn't work right for me. I'm gonna have to do something else to make it work. I know what it is. Okay, so right. Here's the playthrough of the beta so far.
All right, ready? I love the title screen, by the way.
Yeah, let it go for a little bit because it plays the music. The music does change a little bit. I guess I didn't let it go. Okay. That was also my high score, by the way.
Is that your high score, too?
Well, okay. Yeah, because I just used the same one. So here's your high score game.
Okay, here's my high score. $35,400. What was yours?
$30,000. So you beat me on that one, too. So you're 35 and I was 30. I think I did one that was higher, but I didn't get it recorded. Because yeah, remember, I finished my game this morning and then wrote up some slides to add to the ones that I had. You've had slides in your game for a week. So that's why.
I have.
But I'm
gonna stop sharing now. We're back to us. So what did you think of that experience trying to make a game in a month?
I mean
it sounds like a lot of time, but I spent a lot of time
in Stas before this. But I never finished anything because I always wanted to make those objects pools and sort of in parallel rays and things like that. And I was able to finally get that done and squeeze the code down and figure out how to get something to scroll fine. But now I'm at a place where I understand so much more about how it works that I can then make a release candidate for this game and then start working on a new game. And that's what I want to do. So
so here's my question for you. We got a choice for the next one. So either I port your game to the 7800, you port mine to the ST, which could be fun. Or we develop our own new game to continue with your skills. I want to know which one you want to do.
I want Balloon Saw on the ST, but I don't think it's the next game.
Okay, so then for the next game, we're going to do a port of an arcade. This is the bedroom coder one. You're a bedroom coder. You need to port an arcade game to another system. It doesn't have to be the exact arcade
Not
game.
Not a port. A clone. You're being paid to make a clone of a game. You don't have a license. You're making a clone. It can't be exactly the same, but it's got to be as close as possible to get those quarters. Oh, quarters. People who would have bought quarters to buy either
$1.99 cassette tape.
Well, or a $9.99 cartridge for the 7800 or a $9.99 disc for the ST or something. So,
that's right.
Something that didn't happen that often, right?
It never happened. But that's fine. This is alternate universe. We're filling in the blanks in the vertical blank.
In the vertical blank, right. So that's
necessarily.
Fine.
Okay. Well, that was
Well, hold a second. Do you have a lovely beverage, Stephen?
I have a beverage, yes.
What do you have?
It is a black raspberry LaCroix.
I have Trader Joe's dark Arabica coffee in a pod, not a licensed pod, by the way, unlicensed pod, in a Rick and Morty mug.
I have raspberry. Well, that was fun. So here's the thing, though. I think because you didn't have enough time this time, and the next effort is even more challenging.
Steve, do you have any retro attire on, Steve? Who gave you that hat?
This is the Chris Crawford hat from Chris Crawford after I did a video about him last year that he liked.
This is my Pong hat. I've had this hat for 4 years. I wear it almost every day.
Oh, that's...
I have a Friday Harbor shirt on, but Friday Harbor has nothing to do with retro games. It's an island in the San Juan Islands up in Washington State. You have to take a 2-hour ferry to get there from the mainland, and it is a great place to visit.
Oh, that's cool. The next, so we need some extra time. We'll give it. What we'll do is we'll do in the middle here somewhere. We'll do an episode of Atari Now to give you a little bit extra time to do a fill in the blank, to do a game that is a clone. We're doing a bedroom coder clone.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds good.
Now, when am I going to make a RC1 of my last game, though?
I don't know, whatever you want.
Well, okay. So I'll just fill in that blank all by myself.
You fill in that blank all by yourself. Because you just keep finishing.
Your game. So we are filling in the blanks in the vertical blank, Steve.
In the vertical blank. Now wait. Yeah. Yes, Jeff. We're filling the blanks in the vertical blank.
We're children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.